Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm designer Dave Say.
And welcome on this lovely, nice, warm, sunny Monday, May 12th, 2014.
Where did the rest of the year go?
I don't know. This whole month has been, like, zinging by really fast.
Yeah.
Yes. There we go.
Now what?
Getting everything adjusted here. Okay. Now we're ready.
What's wrong?
There we go. All right. I'm good now.
Okay.
Yes. So what's going on?
Let's see. Let me check my list. What is going on? Well, I guess it's finally warm, and I'm starting to think warm thoughts. I've been completely off of my Fitbit regimen, even though I keep wearing this thing. But I've been preoccupied with work, doing a lot of programming, and I find that I can't diet or eat mindfully and do intense programming at the same time. Because I'm eating, and I'm thinking, and I'm eating.
Yeah.
And It's just my schedule just goes to hell, too, when I'm programming on complex stuff like this.
Yeah.
It's complex for me, so it tends to put me in a weird sleeping cycle.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So, you know, now that things are regularizing a little bit for the summer season, the issue is we had to do these pilot tests with the kids, and the kids go home for the summer in like a couple weeks or so.
Okay.
So we're doing the pilot right now. We just did the UCLA one. I wasn't at it, I'm not going to be at this next upcoming one in Indiana. But we needed to get all the software ready for them to test. So we were adding features, and we were, you know, getting feedback from the first session and making changes with the second one. So it's been kind of crazy.
How is it? It's going well.
It's going well. It's an educational learning process. So this is the first time where everybody gets to see most of the components of the system, from the motion tracking cameras to the representation of the children on the screen to being able to detect what they're doing, how they're moving, and feeding that into some kind of interactive feedback mechanism that's on this big screen.
Huh.
So, you know, the principal investigators at UCLA are taking this all in and like rethinking how things need to go for the next run. And I guess at the end of the summer when we're ready to do that again. That's kind of exciting. I'm learning a lot about JavaScript.
Good.
You know, some pretty high-powered stuff that should be fun to work with.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And I understand that there's been a disaster in your automotive life.
This whole, like, everything, it's just not, this has not been a good, like, last couple of months. Just, there's, like, just been a lot of stress going on. And then, like, I'm allergic to, like, this time every year, like, I'm allergic to something that's in the air. I think there's some sort of, like, grass particulate that's floating around. And so my arms are, like, all, like.
What?
They're all itchy, and they're all like, I've got all kinds of these little tiny like welts on them because I'm having an allergy. So like, just that going on, and so they're all itchy and everything. And then there's just like work stress, and then like my Jeep, like I've had my Jeep since 2000. It was a 98, and it's finally like the whole underside is just completely like rusted to the point where it's just rotted apart.
Yikes.
So like it's just done. Like I brought it in for an inspection, and they were just like, no, like this is going to cost so much money to repair and labor and everything. He's like, you could buy a new car really for the cost. So the Jeep is dead, and I haven't had anything really to drive. I've been driving the scooter the last week or so, and Sarah's been helping me out, but we're sort of in that like I got to get a car thing.
Yep.
So that's been going on. And then like 3 days after I found that out, like I lost my little Fitbit thing while we were doing errands on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. I used to have it on the collar of my sweatshirt.
Yep.
And then you had told me how your cousin had it in the little change thing. So I put it in that little change thing to try it out.
Yeah.
And I lost it that day.
Ugh.
And the problem is we don't know where it was. Like we retrace that afternoon. We spent like 2 hours retracing all of our steps that morning.
Yeah.
It was just gone.
Yeah.
So it's gone somewhere. Somebody has it, or like I don't even know. So that's kind of frustrating because like I only had it for like 4 weeks.
That sucks.
Yeah.
We'll get you a new one. We'll pitch in.
And so that's been about it. It's just been a really there's all kinds of stress going on. It's just been really stressful stuff.
Yeah.
But that's about it. I have a workshop. The first workshop of this year is going to be this upcoming Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that'll be kind of fun.
I should do a refresher on that.
Yeah, you should.
There's like a special deal for people who have taken the workshop before, isn't there?
There is. There is. And I've allocated one of the workshops, the next one in June 21st.
Oh, okay. That's the alumni one?
I'm not making it like if you want to take it this Saturday, you're more than welcome to. I just figured I could try to compile all the people that want to take it at the same time.
Uh-huh.
If anybody's listening that's taken the workshop before and they want to take it on any of the dates, just let me know.
Give
a hold of me and we can give you a special alumni price.
I was just talking to my friend Mark in California about this portrait photography stuff.
Yeah.
And he was telling me stuff like how important Photoshop was to getting good and taking lots and lots of shots so you could get the right one because it'll take hundreds to get the good one. And I'm thinking, this is not what Sid Caesar has taught me.
No.
And he says he gets it all in camera on the first go and he takes five shots and then maybe 10 more that he thinks are good and then he picks the one that's the best and it's always like...
Everybody works differently. I mean, that's the good thing about it. I mean, it's interesting to talk to people that have been raised on photography since digital who haven't been raised on film where, sometimes you have 12 shots to a roll and that's all you got.
Mm.
And so a lot of times the newer people that are raised since digital, a lot of times you find them saying, to them, Photoshop or post-production is just as an important tool as shooting. And that's, some people work like that. I mean, I know people that they've got these ideas in their head and capturing it in a camera is just one step through that process,
That makes sense.
I'm just not an over, my brain doesn't work in over-processing mode. Like, I see, when I see work, I see it clean and I see it as if I was shooting on film. So there's not a lot, if I over-process things too much, it just looks like junk to me.
You have a much finer eye for that kind of thing than I have, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty good eye, but I've been amazed that when I take some of your source raw files and I bring them in, there's some headshots that you took of me. I brought them into the Photoshop preparing to do adjustments, and then there weren't any I needed to make.
Yeah.
And every time I moved it, all right, now I've, now I'm losing detail, and I've moved down, I'm losing shadow detail. it's everything is perfectly bracketed inside of this. I can't do anything. Maybe I can at most, pick out my zits and stuff like that.
Right.
But then I look at stuff that I've taken and I think I'm exposing it right. And then I'm adjusting it plus or minus a whole stop.
Right.
And then I had to do tricks to fill things in. And you're right. It never looks quite as deep and, deeply natural. I'm not sure that's really a term or not. But I was looking at other people's stuff. There was this cosplay photographer who was taking pictures, and I really liked his stuff at first.
Yep.
But then I looked at the rest of his portfolio, and it was the lighting on this isn't so good. And then I realized that a lot of the pop in his cosplay portfolio was because the cosplayers were practiced at posing and looking cool.
Right.
And it was the subject matter that was over 50% of the greatness of the shot.
Right.
Right. So, and that was kind of eye-opening.
Cosplay seems to be I think the one thing that gets on my nerves when I look at cosplay photography is a lot of it is, most of the time you're photographing people at conventions, so you don't have the best, you don't have the ideal settings because you're either in a hotel or you're in a parking lot garage or there's not a really good, so a lot of it has to be post-production because a lot of times these people that are photographing them want to create an environment afterwards.
Yep.
And so a lot of it is, basically just taking them out of the shot and sticking them in a background or something. Uh-huh. So for me, that's just not, that just kind of irritates me because it just feels like you're just sort of grabbing and I don't even know. But there is, and I know a lot of to me it just feels like a hack job. And some of it I can see it, and then there's for me I even when I work with any of the work that I do, even on skin and stuff, I try not to over process it because I don't want it to look like it's been just smudgy. And I know a lot of people that, you know, especially some of these programs you can buy that are like these skin softening programs.
Yeah, those
and it takes away all the humanity out of somebody. Right. Like it just turns them into a mannequin. Like they just, they get rid of all the pores and, and I just, and that's fine. Like some people know, like, you know, like, I mean, that guy that you saw, Simon Grazina's touch up guy.
Pratik.
There's just, there's the right way to do it. And you get to that certain level where you can do it. And it looks like a high fashion model advertising shot. But there are people that do it and it just doesn't. Or another thing I have a like a niche for is, or I think like pet peeve is looking at people that touch up the eyes too much. Like they make the white of the eyes too white.
Oh,
You can tell it's totally overprocessed. And it's like, But by and large, I try to just, I try to keep, everything has to be really natural. Like even when I'm lighting, I don't want it to look, well, except for the shots where like the lights are bouncing back at them, like they're on stage, which I seem to like a lot. But I try to keep everything really, really natural. And for me, the most important thing is just trying to get something out of the person themselves and not spend so much time on lighting and whatever that it gets, because it's easy to get lost in all of that.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So that's why I was, I've been actually thinking about taking your workshop again. I remember the first time I took it, actually, it's the same model. It was, it's Sinahan?
No, you...
Was that the second?
Took it through the Institute. Like, you took it when I first started doing them at the school.
Oh, that's right. But there was another follow-up one, I think, and then
did. Did you do a second one? I don't remember when that
there
was.
There was one that, I think the first one you did here?
Might have been.
No, I think I was assisting you at the Institute one. I don't think I was shooting.
Oh, were you?
I don't remember.
I don't even remember
I remember a room. I remember. I remember we needed to make printouts of something, and we.
I think that
was the year that you picked up that old G4 Power Mac.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Because I needed to show stuff on the projectors and stuff.
But yeah, but I remembered like I was taking pictures and. It was like a new experience for me to direct a model, you know, which is one of the cool things about this workshop. Like in addition to like learning how all the manual controls on my camera worked, and how to expose using, how to meter basically, how to understand light a bit better. But just looking at the shots I got and the shots I thought I might get, you know, it was like a really kind of an eye opener. So it's like I'm not doing a good job of directing at all here, and so like this is something I wanted to follow up on and see how see how that would work.
Yeah,
and also like pay more attention to, I guess taking the time to get the exposure right.
Yeah,
because I think I kind of rushed myself last time because I didn't want to take up everyone's time.
Yeah,
so that was kind of
on
my mind. So you know maybe. So there's some things I want to try this time around.
Well, take the one on Saturday because we've got a low number, so there's, it'll be plenty.
Yeah, people should sign up because it'll be great.
Yeah, and but it's I just like watching that the gear when once that light bulb goes off in somebody's head,
boom.
You know, and usually it's like towards the end of the night, and we've done it enough where all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute,
So I hope it's a good turnout.
Hopefully this season will go really well.
I think up for that one.
I think next year I'm going to do less dates.
Yeah.
I seem to overdate everything. Like I just create too many and then it just sort of spreads out the registrations.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think if I do maybe like just two next year, I'll be able to just squeeze them all in together.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I wonder if you can convert one of them to like a, maybe there's another kind of workshop that you could do that might be, you know, just. You know, just as rewarding. Maybe there's one for you. You make it's.
I don't know.
You know, I make it. It's a once a year thing, so it sounds exclusive because it is exclusive. Maybe it's toys. Maybe it's nerdetry. Maybe it's something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, speaking of which, there's a bunch of cosplayers I've started to get to know. There's John Shaver, who I met at one of Ian and Kelly Muir's. Festivus parties up in Manchester.
Yeah.
And he's a writer and programmer, and he did this Hellboy costume.
Yeah.
And so he was at a Manchester comic book store. I think it was at Double Midnight Comics.
Yep.
And and he's like, he's friends with this other person, Brenda Nazo, who is involved also in the kind of the area tech scene, kind of that whole sort of like
thing.
Yeah, how do you describe it? I keep thinking of it as the young person's tech scene up in Manchester where everyone's like 30. He's like, oh, I just turned 30 today, ha ha. So I'm like,
we're all
But she's also involved with the Future Women Tech Group, FTW. But anyway, so they're all involved with this comic book scene, and it was, and John was at some kind of event. He was at the Double Midnight event, and then okay. Brenda couldn't make it. So what he did was he printed out a picture of Brenda.
Oh, is it the people on sticks thing?
Yeah, the people on sticks thing. And then they were just like holding her up all over. It was like, we need more of those. I want a stick Dave, and there should be a stick Sid. And then I was thinking, we should put together some kind of shoot that would just take pictures of ourselves, like, you know, Alex Ross Kingdom Come style, and then make a whole bunch of like, stick versions of us, because we could be the hero nerds of New England. It'll just be something to do. I don't know if you'd be interested in it or not, but possible project. I could use a Kingdom Come version of myself. People who are not familiar with
wouldn't
Alex
it be great
Ross,
if we had the money where we could hire Alex Ross to just paint versions of us for like our bio pages? Alex Ross is a comic book illustrator that he's more of a painter.
Yeah.
And he paints lifelike.
Yeah.
It's very incredible.
Yeah. An analogy might be he's kind of like Norman Rockwell, except for superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he has a very Americana kind of feel to.
Yep.
It's of a classic, you know, amazing representations of your superheroes that you're not used to seeing painted in this.
No. Way. I remember the first time I saw Kingdom Come, which was a DC miniseries that he illustrated.
Yeah.
I was just like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Like, he's just amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it would be fun to try to simulate that lighting. And just like standing on the white backdrop, and then we're just making like a whole like hall of superheroes.
Hall
except
of justice,
except they're us.
Except they're nerds like us. Hall of nerd
anyway. Something to do.
Yes.
Get the rest of we need to make these cross connections with other nerd cultures in the area.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
We do. Yes. Well, one of the things we've been talking about is sort of doing a local media makers. Like they have the New Hampshire Media Makers meet up in Newmarket, right?
Yes. Yep.
Once a month or something like that.
Yeah, up at Crack Skulls.
Up at Crack Skulls. And every once in a while they'll do something at the Courier here in Manchester. But I'm wondering if something like that could happen in Nashua, you know, just have like the Southern Nashua Media Maker thing. Just to get, you know, even if people just show up once a month just to say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, and try to network out a little bit.
I think one of the big challenges of that is just to make it a very open and non-clicky kind of thing. A lot of times you see a group like that get together, they all know each other,
yep.
And they concentrate on just knowing each other, and it's hard to break into that.
Yeah.
We tried to do that with the Collective a few years ago.
Yeah.
But that... I think the difficulty with that was we weren't sure what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And now I have a much better idea of what I would like to see from it, like it being more of an opening kind of thing like you're talking about. It doesn't need to be the Collective part two, but certainly just pulling people together to share what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the interest needs to be the shared interest needs to be one of seeing what other people are doing creatively and being really turned on and inspired by that.
Yep.
As opposed to like, oh, where can I go and sell my stuff?
Right.
Which is the wrong attitude to have with that.
Yeah.
And there's a community is like has a continuity of meeting regularly, of having a shared value of that creativity and expression of creativity and the sharing of our knowledge. These are all very important parts of being, I don't know, a connected creative instead of like the shadow creative or the one who is like angry in their basement all the time. It's kind of like happy punk rockers, happy punk rockers,
punk artists.
You know, there's a punk aesthetic, but they want to be happy. It's not like they're punk because they want to not be happy.
Yeah. So I think we should try to maybe think about how that would work and maybe try it just to see.
So it's the call out. Even if it's just like to get together and like have a potluck meal or something like that, eat some stuff, bring some stuff that we're working on, maybe even like do a little bit of work. This is one of the reasons why I want to do the whole living room cafe thing.
Yeah.
So I can have my living room host more of these kind of, hand-picked events.
Yeah.
With hand-picked people. I actually went to look at the flooring place.
Did you go to Gregory J's?
I did go to Gregory J's. I had no idea where it was. And I've driven by it maybe hundreds and hundreds of times and just had no idea that there was even there. Because it's a very nondescript, unassuming building on the side of Route 101A, one of many buildings that didn't look like it sold ice cream or pizza or anything that I was remotely interested in. Flooring stores it doesn't look like a flooring store. I don't even know what that would look like. But it was a nice place. I talked to some people there and getting an estimate. I keep getting drawn toward really, really light maple, very clean looking.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's right. There's just something about the material I like. It's very clean. It's very.
Did they give you
green.
Like samples that you could take and lay them all next to each other in the?
I didn't ask any samples. I went and looked there and just got the process started. I wanted to meet some people there, so I made the acquaintance with a woman named, I think her name was Carla. I don't remember actually. Yeah. And then just get an idea of like what they would cost and, you know, what it might cost if they did the installation instead of me doing the installation. So I have no idea what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
But it's not a lot of space. It's like in my living room, it's about 300 square feet total and about maybe it's like 200 square feet of that. And the price per square foot for the hardwood stuff itself is anywhere between $5 and $8 a square foot.
Okay.
And then installation, you know, I have no idea what that is.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe it's the same cost, or maybe it's less.
Hmm.
We'll see. So it could be, you know, maybe $2,000 or $3,000. That's kind of what I'm hoping it'll be.
Yeah,
but it'll be a whole professionally installed hardwood floor.
Yeah,
which would like be good for the value of the place if I wanted to move.
Yeah,
and you know, I have the 1989 carpet, original carpet from there.
Get that out of there.
Yeah, it's
now. Are you going to do from where the kitchen ends all the way to the slider, so that would be the where the dining room table is.
Yep. Okay, so the hallway, the dining area, and then the living room area.
Okay,
get rid of the couches. I was telling my dad about it. He reminded me that it's also my sister's house too, which I keep forgetting.
Oh.
It's kind of the family house, and I just happen to be living there.
Oh.
And so I need to make sure that she's comfortable with it, too.
Huh.
So I was asking her about that. And she seems to be comfortable. She didn't think I was serious about it. That's why she hadn't said anything. Yeah, but she's been sending me pictures now, which is good. Oh, and I should mention, family-wise, it's Taiwanese American Heritage Week here in the United States. The week after Mother's Day is always Taiwanese American Heritage Week. And what is Taiwan?
What is Taiwan?
A tiny island off the coast of China that formerly was a colony of Japan for 50 years prior to World War II. Before that, it was just this kind of fishing island. After World War II, there was a civil war in China, and the American World War II allies, the nationalists, were driven from the mainland, and they set up an interim government on Taiwan, which is where they've been for forever. And the island was under martial law for the longest time. I actually lived there from the age of 10 to 18, or 9 to 18, and went going to an American school. So and my parents are Taiwanese, of course. So. So, like, in my old age, I'm growing nostalgic and fond of things that remind me of that, particularly the food, or some of the food I remember, which is actually not really Taiwanese. It's really more mainland China stuff, but it's all Chinese, and with the Taiwanese, like, you know, take on it.
Yep.
So, you know, go watch an Ang Lee movie. He's a Taiwanese dude. Have some bubble tea, which is from Taiwan originally in the 80s. Watch one of those weird animated news programs like that cover current events.
Yep.
You know, think of Taiwan, not the same as Thailand. No, whole different place.
No.
Yep.
Ang Lee.
Yeah.
Don't watch the Hulk.
Don't watch the Hulk. I mean, he has his off days too, you know.
Ice Storm. Yes. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Yes.
I never saw that Life of Pi movie.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been terrible with current movies. We haven't been in the theater in so long.
Yeah.
And we wanted to see. We have to go see X-Men, which comes out in like 2 weeks.
Is it Jennifer Lawrence in that?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. And so we'll have to go see that. We missed Captain America. I wanted to see that. I don't even know if that's in the theater anymore. Like, we've just.
Yeah.
This whole year has just been off. Like, just stress and just we haven't been able to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Just everything is just not working right now.
Yeah, that's difficult.
It's frustrating.
I've been looking into ADHD.
Yep.
Because I noticed that a lot of the coping mechanisms I have for dealing with a bad memory or like keeping focus actually seems to be the same strategies that people with ADHD seem to be using. So I'm wondering, I wonder if there's some sort of correlation here about that. I've been thinking related on the stress lines, how I seem to have avoided seeking out any kind of diagnosis because I haven't lived a life in which there is a lot of stress on me. I've kind of naturally avoided it.
Yeah.
And I was lucky that I got into computers and people were paying for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so instead of like being a, a watercolor painter or something like that, or going into the humanities, you know, so it's interesting that my interests tend to lie along the humanities and creativity, but like my bread and butter work happens to be doing stuff with computers, which everybody uses now.
Right.
Back when I was interested in it, it wasn't apparent that was going to be that way.
Yeah.
But so I kind of lucked out on that, and that's alleviated a lot of the stress. So I was thinking, if I worked at a regular job with a 9-to-5 thing, with a manager and a boss and a product director and like HR and stuff like this, which I did for about one year, it was the most miserable time of my life. Yeah, I'd probably be a lot more stressed out.
Right.
It's hard to do, work creatively when you're under that kind of stress.
It is. But
hopefully you can find something in you to just keep yourself making things. That seems to help me.
Yes.
If I can make something and show it to somebody, get a good reaction from people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah. You're in a field where you can actually do that. You just take a picture and you take beautiful pictures, dude. So it's,
I know, but it just doesn't seem like the value is there anymore. Like,
well, you might have to rethink what the value is. A lot of the stuff that I do, I don't get directly paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the stuff, all this writing on the internet, I'm paying for the server, I'm paying for the cameras, I'm paying for the time that I put into it, but I'm just sharing it. And a little trickle of that comes back in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good model to follow, but for me, it's like you had a. And actually, this is true also if you're doing any kind of marketing. The hits you get back for the effort you put out there, it's usually in the low fractions of a percent.
Yeah.
You know. So. Anyway, I guess that's
a good
time.
Podcast. That's good. That's quick.
Yeah, it's the regular 30 minutes one.
Good. Good.
I guess we'll talk about barbecue some other time.
Yeah, you have to tell us about your barbecues with Kenta and going to the Riverwalk thing next week.
Yep.
So we'll
Ribfest is coming up too, right?
So is it?
That's usually in June sometime. So I might have to go back to that.
I wonder if we should go this year. I don't think we've ever really gone. I don't know if Sarah likes groups, crowds that much.
It's nice if you can just find a place and just hang out.
Yeah.
So the crowds become background scenery.
Yeah.
And you don't get lunch at the same time everybody else gets lunch. You wait till around 2 o'clock, then everything clears right out.
Yeah.
So if you showed up at like 1 or 2 and just hung out until it started getting dark, that might not be bad. That's what I did last year when my sister came to visit.
Yeah.
And it actually was much better time. I had not wanted to go, but they wanted to go, and I thought, I should try it out again.
Yeah. Huh.
And it actually wasn't so bad. Just taking my time, wandering around. Trying the pickles.
Yeah. Pickles. Yeah. Deep fried pickles is where it's at.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Good. Good,
so
good.
That's about it.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up so we can get something to eat.
Oh, I already ate lunch.
Oh, you...
Well, someone didn't tell me that they were going to be here today.
I forgot.
Yeah, so... But yeah, I could go get something to drink.
Oh,
so
all right.
That's fine.
All right. Well, then, until next week, I am Photographer Say Caesar.
And this is designer Dave Say.
And we will see you later. Have a good week.
All right.
Get outside. It's nice out. It's supposed to be nice tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be nice on Saturday.
Hope everyone had a good Mother's Day.
Yes.
Oh, Michael Ballard had a nice Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. Michael Ballard at michaelballard.com. Go send him your love.
He has a show coming up, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Did it happen already?
I don't know.
I'm somewhere in New York City.
In New York, yeah. Far, far away in New York.
Yep.
Getting louder. Yeah. All right, we'll see you guys later.
Take care. Bye.
We'll see you later.